going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you into another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shuptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Alan Medlock from Red Dirt Redburn, a Medlock 1. On Twitter, we are a week away from opening day. The Cardinals just wrapped up yet another inter-squad game. And Alan, you and I were talking a little bit as we were watching it before we started the show. It's a little different watching this. I mean, you don't really know what you're looking for. You don't know what the results are or if they matter or what they are, but I guess it's good to see some baseball back on the screen.
Yeah, that's the way that I've looked at it. It's nice to see the guys back. It feels a little more real now that you can actually see a little bit of competition going on. The way that I look at it is these are the parts of spring training that we don't get to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, that's before the game start in spring some of the things that don't get telecast or aren't open to the public or to the media, you know, that we'll see afterwards. So I've appreciated it. I thought it's fun. I'm trying to take all the oddities in stride of what's going to happen this year. And I feel like Dan's been really good on the broadcast and explaining a lot of those things and how things can switch around. And, you know, we see two uniform switches tonight just to get guys work, you know, get their work in. And it's been pretty fun to see. It makes me really, really look forward to the scrimmage or anything better than that, but the game against the Royals next week. And then,
exhibition.
And then, the opener. Yeah, just to see how it works out. I saw where they're going to open up Ballpark Village to some fans, and Amber and I were talking about it today and saw some of the prices and whatnot, and you wonder if that's maybe just the start of things, but yeah, that seems like 100 years down the road, you know, as things are going in our country right now.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that. They got that, that thing where they're going to have like 100 fans over it and the rooftops across the way, and I'm like, I don't know. It just didn't strike me as a good idea. I mean, maybe I know they'll be spaced out. I know they'll be, you know, served by people in masks. They'll probably have to wear masks. I don't know. It just feels weird in where we're at. Hopefully it works out fine, you know, and again, it's revenue, I guess. And that's the important thing.
Sure. Well, Jeff Jones was talking today, and you may have seen his tweet about how they're putting up the plexiglass between the seating arrangements and stuff like that. And I wondered, it was funny because I kind of gauged Amber's interest today, and I said, hey, you know, they're opening these seats. And she kind of looked at me like, are you crazy? You know, the entire situation. I was like, well, I'm sure they're taking precautions, and I know it seats more than 100 people up there. I said, so how many more, I don't know. But
I think I saw, it's usually about 300.
My guess was 300, but I wasn't certain.
Yeah, so they're taking about a third. And, yeah, if they've got the glass and all that, it's really about, you know, how you get people in and, you know, and then, you know, how contagious things are. If you're, you know, I imagine overall it's going to be fine, and I imagine there's not going to be any, you know, we're not going to hear about some sort of spreading case. I'm sure it's going to work out. But it just, you know, when you're looking at this from different angles, it just strikes you funny. And it's just like, really, is this what we want to do? But yeah, if you're willing to take all the precautions and you're willing to take whatever risk is there, then, you know, and then if you're willing to part with whatever it's going to cost you to get up there, I'm sure there'll be people in those spots.
Oh, I would think so.
Sure, when they kick off, a week from today against the Pirates that night.
There was a part of me that I may not be available tomorrow to do this, but kind of thought about getting online just to see if tickets were available at any point, because, you know, being 6 hours away, it's kind of an odd deal to where I feel like people just beat me to the punch in a lot of these sales. I never get to them anyway. And I was wanting to see how quick the availability was going to run out. My luck, I'd probably get stuck with 6 or 7 of them.
I imagine it'll go fairly quickly because I got to feel like there are enough people in St. Louis that feel confident in the procedures or don't care that much or aren't worried about the whole problem as much to fill those spots. I just don't think that'll be an issue. And like I said, sounds like they're doing, some smart things with the, keeping people separated. So if they can continue to monitor that and figure that out and figure out how these people can, kind of line up to go to the bathroom or whatever the case may be, then,
I'm sure that they spent a lot of time taken for granted.
Yep. If you just don't even think about it. So anyway, the Cardinals, they played an exhibition game earlier, inter-squad game earlier this week, which I didn't actually see. And it obviously didn't matter much because it was a 0-0 score. Tonight, it's a 2-1 game. Again, no way you can draw any conclusions, I don't think, one way or another. But if you had to, and maybe you've seen more of it than I have to maybe get enough feel for it, is the pitching that good or is the offense that bad or a combination of the two?
Well, I expected the bats to be a little bit behind, because they kind of gotten thrown in and to where, if you think about it, whenever the summer camp started, they went right into things, what I'm saying, as far as the scrimmages and stuff like that. And probably means that they were probably remaining pretty active. I felt like the pitching looked really good, but I didn't think there was a lot of hard hit balls, which told me there was some timing issues and they were kind of catching up. Now, tonight I felt like there were. Carlos Martinez had trouble locating a little bit gave up some hard hit balls. And then, Carpenter smoked one off of Michaelis. But overall, I felt like the pitching has looked really good. I'm not sure what that means, kind of like when your intro into that. I'm not sure what that necessarily means at this point. You would probably pick, and if it was the Cardinals offense against the Cardinals pitching in a regular season series, we would probably bet pretty heavy on the Cardinals pitching, anyway. So, I don't know what it says, but it does, it to me felt like the offense has been behind.
Yeah. And again, it's very hard to tell. And you're right. It may take a few more games and we may get, I think the best indication, which unfortunately will be just a couple days before the season starts, will be that exhibition against the Royals, where you can see somebody different, put your normal right, because that's the other thing, right? You've got your offense is kind of spread out, I didn't look at the lineups today. I don't know. Did they have all the starters in the?
Well, I felt like you had a preview of opening day lineup for one of the teams today. For the one that Martinez pitched for, I felt like your opening day lineup was in there.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. I didn't, like I said, I just kind of caught the end of it. But, DeYoung and Wong were on the same team. Carpenter was, Molina, Bader. So, yeah, it probably was probably pretty close to that. But I don't know. I mean, that's the concern that we had all through the spring and all through the last year, or at least last offseason, was whether the offense could bounce back. And, again, I don't know when you can tell if it did or not. Honestly, I mean, this year is going to be so weird that, I don't know how long you can play the, it's weird, card before you realize that, something has to be done.
Yeah. That's the oddity of how this was going to work out is going to be interesting. But you're right. I mean, no one's really just, knocked your socks off. And it's funny just reading the headlines, reading the articles, and you wonder how much Austin Dean's played his way into maybe that role, definitely a role in that 30-man roster. Mm-hmm. It's kind of strange because it's almost like he may have – this is tall order, but it doesn't seem to me like Lane Thomas is necessarily making a great impression. And that's kind of a reach, but that's the name that you've heard the least. And you kind of wonder, you know, what the situation is there. You know, Fowler was hurt, of course, but, you know, he was in the lineup like it were the opening day lineup tonight. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch to see how everything's broken down and to see how the rosters are made up. I'm excited to see that 30-man announcement and kind of go from there. And that may give us a pretty good idea, but I think there may be a lot of comings and goings too.
Yeah, I mean, that 30-man's not going to come until the day before. Probably.
No,
I mean, especially since – and I mean, like, we saw the first cuts this week where a lot of those lefty pitchers that they added late to Zach Thompson and Seth Elledge and Rob Kaminsky all got sent down, which – made some sense because there's many lefties that are going to go on. But, and, you know, they were trying to cover some innings that aren't going to be needed right now. But as long as Ivan Herrera, but, you know, it was pointed out that they didn't make cuts like they normally would because they need to have all the hitters.
Yeah.
Like, have play two games, you know, both full sides. So there's no way that they send anybody down until then, and there's really no need to. But yeah, that 30 minutes going to be kind of an interesting situation. Now, I was talking a little bit. I didn't realize until I was talking to, I think, Ben Cerruti on Twitter this week, that there's not a max on how many pitchers you take, because, you know, it used to be, when they expanded to 26, the normal rule was you could only have 13 pitchers at the most. Well, that's not the case this year. You can have as many pitchers as you want. What do you think the breakdown, especially on the 30 man, is going to be, hitter pitcher?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I mean, I would almost think that you probably have to take, you know, 16, 17 arms, because you're not going to see a lot of long starts.
This is true.
So I don't know. I'm not real sure.
Part of me wonders, though, if we're overselling maybe how short those starts are going
to
be.
If you listen to starters' quotes, I agree with you on that. You know what I mean? They don't want to make it sound like that.
Well, and I mean, you know, you saw the story about Carlos before he got to camp, had thrown 95 pitches in 7 innings in a simulated game. And, you know, obviously that's a little much. But we saw tonight, even though they jumped from the 4th to the 8th, I mean, Michaelis pitched 4 or 5 innings tonight. It feels to me that these guys are probably to the point that, well, look, I know it's a little bit shorter, but you go into the regular season and you don't see a lot of 4-inning starts or 3-inning starts. You see, you know, 5-inning starts, maybe 5, 5.5. And, you know, I would be kind of expecting, you know, 5 innings a start, maybe to start with for these guys. And if that's the case, you only have to cover 4. And, you know, you've got a lot of arms like Ponce de Leon and Gomber that aren't starters necessarily, but can cover 2 or 3 innings a game. I'm not saying that they won't, but I don't know, and especially 3-batter minimum, you can't take a guy, you can't take a lot of specialists. They're going to have to pitch 3 batters, which is hopefully going to be, you know, most of an inning. I don't know that you take as many pitchers as we just immediately assume that they do.
Do you have to, I mean, is just to ask it, or do you think that's more of a 15-15 split then?
Probably, yes. But on the flip side, to argue against what I just said, with the DH, you don't need pinch hitters, so you don't necessarily need any bench bats. So I feel like I wouldn't be surprised, and there's a reason that they're cutting it, you know, after 30, they're going to cut it down to 28 after a couple weeks, and then cut it down to 26. I wouldn't be surprised that we see in that first couple weeks, there's some guys that don't get used or barely get used, that are more insurance than anything else.
Yeah, that's a great point. Gosh, I don't know. I mean, that kind of adds to the intrigue a little bit, because I kind of naturally just thought this whole time that they would go pitcher heavy just to be covered. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that's you know, Kim went all but 1 inning, I think, last night, and then maybe 2, and then which I thought was interesting. And then, you know, Wainwright went heavy. Was his last night as well? They're kind of running together because it was it was Flaherty and Gomber, who Gomber looked really good on the Tuesday night scrimmage. And I don't know. I mean, I did think it was funny that they were making the comments about going more innings because I was like, yeah, that doesn't sound like these are going to be short.
I don't. I mean, and we'll see. I mean, it depends on how effective they are too. And I'm sure that they'll take some arms for some insurance. But on the flip side, and not on the flip side, to continue that thought, that bullpen, finding the arms for that is becoming a little bit difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, Cabrera is still out with COVID. He's going to be out for a while, it sounds like, because I haven't heard that he's gotten one negative test, much less the second.
Yeah.
And then he's got to work his way up. Ricardo Sanchez the same way, which I don't know that Sanchez was playing heavily but he would have been the way everything's going. Giovanni Gallegos still in Mexico. We don't know if that's a COVID thing, if that's a travel thing. We don't know what's going on there. We really don't have any idea about Alex Reyes.
Yeah.
Jordan Hicks opts out. John Brebbia is out with Tommy John. All of a sudden, you know, this depth that the Cardinals have in pitching, and then there's still enough to fill the roster. But it's going to be tapped really quickly here in the early going.
Yeah, that's the three batter minimum I think is going to help a lot with your Gombers and Ponce. There's a lot of questions you have to answer. Fernandez couldn't throw any strikes last night. Webb has looked decent. The last two nights. It's. I'm glad to see Helsley tonight. He'll be a prominent part. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be crazy. It's they're going to get tested quickly. You get past that rotation or even that six man, and then you have your Gomber and your Ponce, and then it's kind of a guessing game from there.
A little bit. And I watched the Brett Cecil inning tonight, and it didn't fill me with a whole lot of confidence.
No, and he doesn't look healthy to me. I don't know. It's odd.
Yeah, I mean, he did all right against the lefties, but that's just not what baseball is anymore. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, to some degree, he's going to have to pitch to and even when he gets lefties, he was nibbling enough, and maybe he had some. I guess those umpires are actual MLB umpires.
Yeah, absolutely. All three of them are staying in St. Louis for this situation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I figured. I was wondering about that until earlier in the day, I was like, what are they doing for umpire? Because, you saw that that thing about Jason Baratek, being an umpire.
Yeah.
So I was like, who are they getting to do this? I realized tonight that they had official MLB umpires. But, there was a little bit of, a couple of calls could have gone either way. But basically, boiled down to he just nibbled a lot, it felt like. And maybe that was his new, his new arm slot. He's still trying to figure it out, but that's a little bit concerning when you have to know that if he goes into a game, he's going to go in there for three batters, and odds are one, if not two, of those are going to be righties.
It was funny. Dan made a great point about that. He brought it up pretty quickly about how he's been effective against the lefties, but not at all against the righties. And so that's why he's kind of switched his arm angle, but it hadn't really shown progress tonight. Why not? And I thought that was interesting because I was thinking, that pretty much says it all about where we are on Cecil at this point. If he can't get those outs, and it's going to be important to have these guys that can start an inning and finish it. So, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. His body has just transformed that huge transformation, but man, he just looks thin and unhealthy to me.
Yeah. And who knows? I mean, they may find something. It's going to be very interesting, I think, as well, to see if they try to do stuff like, okay, there's two outs. We got a lefty up. We're going to use him and hope he gets that lefty out because it's three outs or the end of an inning.
Yeah.
And if you get that done, because if he didn't, and if he doesn't, then we're in for a trouble. Maybe we're a situation with two outs and nobody on, instead of two outs, not going to bring him in if there's two on and two outs, you know, that kind of situation, which is what we used to see at lefties. It may be where you're going to have to just put him on and hope that he can get that last out without letting the inning blow up on him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's also, when you go into that three batter minimum, it's really going to be kind of interesting to see if he comes in and faces two lefties and then a righty comes up, if they, unintentionally or intentionally walk the guy. And then you can go to your bullpen, you've got a runner on with two outs instead of trying to, hope it limit the guy, if it's a righty that has pop or if maybe, instead of letting him hit a double or hit it out of the ballpark, you walk him and then you go to your other guy and maybe get the other out. I don't know. I think that has a tendency to possibility of adding some strategy. I'm not sure that's going to work that way though.
Yeah. That's a lot of moving parts on that one. It's one of those things where I wish the best for Cecil, but if you have to jump through that many hoops to do that, you feel like there's better options.
Yeah. And you've got Webb who, I liked what Webb did last year. I think he was a little bit underrated, but you do worry about the three batter minimum and whether he can do it again. You've also got Miller from the left side. If you have to take Cecil and then you've got like Gomber, there's a reason that they sent all those lefties to Springfield because they have so many of them already. I agree that if it comes down to it, you cut Cecil now, you're not out a whole lot of money. So, I think they're going to try to do everything they can with him, but he, if he can't get it done, he can't get it done.
Yeah. We know that it is a results-based business and, that's amplified in a 60-game season.
Yeah, for sure. And, you and I, I've talked about how I wasn't 100% really sure about how teams were going to cut players or, with a pool and kind of be limited to what they can do. But kind of looking over the transactions this week, not for the Cardinals, but for other teams, it hasn't seemed to be real much of an issue. A lot of people have been waiving players and releasing them. And I guess they're going to draw from that pool and they can always add to it. But I thought it might be a little bit of a hesitancy of people not wanting to lose a player, but it doesn't seem to be that to be the case.
Yeah, there's been some. I don't know about the results or stats or how it was, but I saw that Adam Warren was dropped, and then Godley was released. I thought that was interesting. Very quickly re-signed. So I don't know. I didn't think we'd see a lot of movement either. Just to basically for the same reason that the Cardinals are doing it, it's just to fortify who's in camp. And figure it out from there. But it seems like there's a lot of things that it's not going to look as different as we thought. Or it may look very different in the fact that it could be super aggressive movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may be. Again, like you said, there's 60 games. It's got to get done. And you want to take your best team as much as you can. North, and then I say that because I know there's a lot of people out there that say, well, if you're going to take your best team north, why is Dylan Carlson probably going to be on that team? It's difficult to, even if you don't, I think we're both of the agreement that the front office typically doesn't worry too much about service time. That's not a huge, I'm not saying that they don't think about it, but it's not a huge part of their calculations.
Sure.
That being said, if you can get another year for, trade a year for a week, which is what you can do this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably be a part of it, but again, we don't know what Dexter Fowler is going to look like. We don't know what Harrison Bader is going to look like. We don't look like Clayton Thomas is going to look like. We don't know, if Austin Dean's gone. Do you take him north and, try to find him some at-bats with five other outfielders on the roster? That seems a little bit iffy too. So I don't know. Should they take Carlson north, do you think?
Initially, I keep thinking they're going to until Mo was on the broadcast on Tuesday and pretty much said that they were not. And then you look at the schedule and you realize that, in that week they have two off days already.
Yeah.
So you wonder, you're just like, this could probably play in their favor a little bit and give somebody a week worth of a bat. And we're assuming that he's going to come up quickly, which he may not. But yeah, you do kind of wonder I was under the impression that they were going to do their best 30 men to try to win right away and see his versatility to be able to play all three outfield positions and hit and count their losses and just make the move. I don't feel like that's going to happen now. And it's crazy to say that after three, inter-squad, spring training scrimmages, but I didn't get the feeling that's going to happen. It seems like, and I felt like this was going to be the case anyway, but O'Neill is going to be the starting left fielder. I would think that injury with Fowler is the only way that he doesn't start opening night. And that right there, that means you're pretty locked in with a Thomas, and it sounds like possibly a Dean, being that fifth outfield option because he can also play some first base. But then you got to figure out the Ravello situation and things like that. But back to your question, I think that there's enough names that are going to make the roster now that Carlson will not. I would not be surprised, though, if he doesn't travel with the team pretty much perpetually all year. Was to own that taxi squad. That may be dumb for me to think, and I may be missing some loopholes there, but I could see that happening just to get the exposure to the big league camp the whole time.
It is going to be interesting to see how they use that. Of course, they got the three-man taxi squad, like you said, where it could be him and Kisner and a pitcher, in theory. I mean, because if it's a three-man, they have to take a catcher. Otherwise, they only do two. So,
yeah.
They take Kisner and him. But it really depends on what they're doing at Springfield, right? I mean, do they think it does him better to get at-bats every day against, lesser pitching? I mean, lesser pitching that he's seen. I mean, there's some good guys there. And, who knows? You could be seeing a Cabrera and you could be seeing an Alex Reyes if these guys ever get to where they're needing to build up arm strength. So there's not like it's completely, A-ball players or anything like that. But they may feel like he's done enough. But if he's, I don't know. Because, I mean, I think in an ideal situation, they take Carlson. But I think they still want to figure out that outfield. I mean, these are the questions that we had in March, Can they get anything out of Fowler? What do they have in O'Neill? What do they have in Thomas? And they've got to figure out at least some of this. And Carlson can wait a little bit. Again, we don't know that he's going to come up and hit 350 with 20 homers this year. I mean, he could hit 130, and struggle. I mean, it's possible. So I can't fault them too much for trying to figure out what they have before they make a move that's pretty much going to be permanent because you don't really want to send anybody.
No, I completely agree with you on that. And it makes a little bit of sense. I mean, considering that the downtime is only that short week, that makes a lot of sense to do it that way. It's going to be funny, just like we talked about last week. It's going to be interesting to see how they give away those at-bats early. How they're going to you fit these guys in. I mean, it feels to me like it's Tyler O'Neill's spot to lose, and he's hit the ball well from what I've seen. It's going to be interesting to see how they break it down, just like we talked about with Ben last week of where, in a 60-game season and your back's against the wall perpetually, center field defense is going to be huge. So it's going to be – I know that Thomas may be just as – if not as good, just a step below Bader and center. But, Bader's the incumbent, and it's going to take a lot to unseat him. So, yeah, however they give away the at-bats is going to be really, really interesting.
Well, and somebody pointed out – I don't remember who, but, the DH, as much as we don't like it, and I'm still not going to like it, never am going to like it. And, when we're doing the show 20 years from now, I'm still going to complain about the DH. But the DH will allow for Bader to hit ninth. Which is one, hopefully makes the lineup strong enough that you can carry him if he's struggling for his glove. But two, when he does get on, then you've got the possibility of him and Wong, at the same time. You could do a little bit of running. You could do some, use that speed. if he can get on base. And of course, that's the biggest key. You know, sure. Can he get on base?
Now, you know what? The lineup configuration tonight was interesting because I keep thinking that he was probably going to be more – that O'Neill was going to be more of a middle-of-the-order option. Mm-hmm. And it was really funny how they broke it down tonight because 7, 8, 9 was Fowler, O'Neill, and Bader. And it's one of those where you're thinking, man, you know, your outfield bats are your bottom three at-bats in the lineup. But then you look at it and you're thinking – man, you've got a guy, a Fowler, that still gets on base at a good clip. You have really, really quick guys at 8, 9, and 1. And you have, you know, your contact machine and Edmund hitting second, you know, in front of Goldschmidt. And I was like, that's a pretty creative way to score some runs. And that will be exciting to watch. Now, that, and even we talked about it last week, they have a chance to be incredibly athletic. And that will be fun to watch in a short season to see how creative they can get on a lot of those things. I was always, and anybody that's listened to us on here, I was always one of those guys that thought that you needed to maximize Fowler's ability to get on base at the top of the lineup because that's one of the things brings you still at his age. I act like he's dated, but you know what I'm saying. You know,
for a ball player, he is.
I like the buy-in now with Wong as the leadoff guy. Yeah, he's just a different player confidence-wise, and I'm glad they did that. I personally thought that they were going to go with Carpenter hitting second right away. But you know me on here, I really like Carpenter in that fifth spot because I feel like you have a ton of RBI opportunities and you're hitting behind your 3-4 and you're going to get a lot of fastballs. And they're going to challenge you. And I think that he can really succeed there. So the way that they make up the lineup, especially with the athleticism they have in it, I'm excited about. I hope it turns into results. You know, we've said this before, and you can have some strikeout machines at the bottom of the lineup, and that's a little worrisome. But I feel like you're going to have a quickness advantage over a lot of teams with the guys that you have in that lineup.
Could be. I mean, that's an interesting way to think about it. I'm still not – I'm always concerned when Yadier Molina starts creeping up the lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe that's a little different when you look at it that way if he can bat. But if he can bat sixth,
yeah,
I'm fine with that when you look at what you're talking about with that idea of basically starting the lineup over there at 7 with a – what could it be almost a 1-2-3 type of look, except for Bader, I guess. But I don't know. And I'm sure that's going to be something that Shields going to play around with a little bit with having to learn, you know, trying to figure this DH thing out.
Sure.
What have you seen? Because, you know, when you talk about DH, I think a lot of people just automatically put Matt Carpenter in that spot, which is fair from a defensive point of view. But given how he hit last year, not necessarily fair. Yeah. You don't want your DH hitting like that. The little bit I saw, you know, from the highlights of tonight and, you know, the one at bat, I did see him. He hit the ball hard. It was a fly out to Bader, but it was onto the track. And of course, obviously he hit one out earlier in the game. Is he looking better? I mean, I don't know, but do you think he looks better than he did definitely last year? I don't remember what he was doing in spring, honestly.
Yeah. You know what? I felt like he did look good in spring this year. Hitting the ball the other way a lot, which usually equates to ultimately him getting back to pulling doubles. You know, I know that sounds odd, but he seems more locked in when those type things happen. And I felt like he's looked good. I think that if you probably truth serum Carpenter, I feel like he would probably want to be the DH. You know, and that adds to the athleticism we were talking about with Edmund. I think that you know, one of the things you look at too that I get a little concerned about is if Carpenter hits and Edmund doesn't, you know, what kind of happens in that situation? Do you go with I think some people are going to naturally say let's go with a Fowler there, which I'm probably more inclined to go with a Ravello there as the DH spot and see what you can get out of that situation. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're going to have a pretty decent season out of Carpenter. I don't know why I feel that way. I'm not so there was parts last year where he felt lost. I don't know if I bought into that. I mean, I felt like he was close the whole time, but I feel like that he's still one of the sluggers that you have to count on, and I feel like he's going to have a pretty good season.
Yeah, and as Kyle Reese likes to point out, you know, after he came off the disabled list late in the year, he hit – I don't think he didn't necessarily hit like Carpenter, but he hit much better, hit much more like an average to, you know, player. I mean, he didn't have a bad – as terrible as the rest of his year was. Now – here's the kicker, though. I mean, if Carpenter's hitting, what if it's because he's comfortable not fielding?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I mean, do you go then to, I mean, who, I guess really does boil down to who plays third if, say, Carpenter's the DH and Edmund gets hurt at some point during the game? You know, who's the, I mean, is it Edmundo Sosa, can he play that? Does DeJong slide over to third and Sosa play short? I mean, I don't know. Of course, we don't know what the roster is going to look like, but that feels to me like one of those spots that may not have an obvious, you know, the middle infield is pretty much, okay, Edmund can shift around or whatever, and Sosa's there and all that kind of stuff. But third base, for the fact that it's very deep, prospect wise, doesn't have anybody there just right now that if Edmund doesn't hit well his second year, you know, it's either, move Carpenter there or and hope he continues to hit, or I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question, because Edmund struggling is a concern of mine this year. I'm also a sophomore jinx type situation. You know what I mean? I'm a believer in that. So, yeah, that is a concern of mine. And, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, Ravello was the opposing third baseman today.
Yeah,
saw that. And you can't read a whole lot into that, of course, but I do find that a little bit interesting. So I don't know. I think that DeJong's locked in. I mean, that's now somewhere down the line, you know, I could see that being a move, but I think they're pretty confident with it, with the middle infield that they have right now. And you're going to see Molina, Wong, DeJong, and Bader a lot this year up the middle. I mean, and I think they're basing their defense on that, which I like that. I feel like you always base it up the middle and kind of go from there. Edmund not hitting is a concern of mine, and just because that's sometimes how the game works. He looked pretty good tonight, and he squared up everything the last two nights. So, you know, hopefully that's a good sign. And, you know, you add his athleticism to the lineup for base, and you know, I'm gonna preach that a lot this year. I mean, I feel like they're really athletic at a bunch of spots, and I think Carlson fits into that, which is a good thing to have. But yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I would naturally assume that it was probably Sosa, and I say that more just due to the huge spring that he had. But I don't know what he's done thus far, you know, in summer to impress it impress anybody. So you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know he got on. I'm pretty sure he got on against Cecil, and then Carpenter ran for him, which that – I mean, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention right there. I was kind of keeping it, so I may have messed up. But the idea that Matt Carpenter ran for Edmundo Sosa seems really wrong in so many ways. But, I figure – I can't remember. I think he's out of options. I may be wrong. He may still have a year. And probably still has he probably still has a year. But I think that he's on that team, and it feels like the any bats that are on the 30 man that don't make it to the 26 are probably outfield bats, right? I mean, that seems to be where they're going to take some extra bats if they're going to take any, because I think the infield is pretty much what they want, right? I mean, it's Molina and Wieters Matt Wieters. Is he going to play this year? I mean,
I think he's going to be a bigger DH option than we assume. That's a little troublesome. You know what I mean? They really like him. I think they like his power burst. So I don't know. I am concerned about that a little bit. I really like Wieters too, but you know, I think that he's kind of being pigeonholed into being in one of these DH options.
I'd be interesting if they're willing to lose their DH, which maybe they are. I mean, especially when you're at a situation where, you know, your pitchers are still able to hit in theory because they've you know, it's not been like they haven't hit for 5 years. They just, you know, if they're willing to do that in case they put both of those guys in the lineup, you're not going to have, I mean, you'll have Kisner on the taxi squad, but you couldn't bring him into a game if, you know, if one of them got hurt. I don't, that's an interesting, I mean,
if to be honest with you, I would be really, really surprised right now if you don't see all three of them on the roster from the beginning.
Maybe in the 30, maybe for 30. I don't think you do though, when it gets down to 26, especially when you're already going to have Wieters, unless you really think Wieters is going to DH a lot. Because Kisner's, I mean, there's a really solid chance that Yadier Molina catches every game this year. And I mean, and
I know what you mean. I mean, that's, you know, I'm pulling up the schedule right now just to manage the off days, and it's, they're off day heavy early. You know, I mean, with those two, it's big when you only have six. But there's a stretch from the 1st to the 12th of August, which there's going to have to be another catcher involved. Possibly from the 15th to the 26th of August, where you'll have to have another catcher involved.
I mean, Yadi has gone, 26, 27 games in a row at times catching? And
that's a good point.
And he's fully rested. I mean, he hasn't played for months.
He looks 10 years younger now.
I mean, he trains for 174, so it's 60?
It's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be – well, I'm for one, there's going to be a rain out somewhere along the way, right? I mean, there's going to have – I mean, it'd be very weird for – I mean, granted, it's August and September, but it feels like there's going to be a rain out somewhere along the way, sure, which will mean – a doubleheader, which means he won't catch both parts of a doubleheader. Not even Yadi does that, although he'd probably like to try. and you're right. I mean, there's 2 days off in August. That's it. You're talking about the heat. Even when you're playing, you know, different places, I'm sure Wieters will get one or two. But if Wieters starts 5 games this year, that's probably a lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, why, if you're not going to use him as a DH a lot, which I don't think you will because of Carpenter and Fowler and all the outfielders, then I just don't know that you let Kisner sit around and take up a roster spot, which are, you know, basically have two catchers that are sitting on your bench, not doing anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Now, you know, it's possible that late in the year they would, you know, if things aren't working out, they could, you know, let Kisner or Wieters go, but that seems unlikely. But it also seems wrong to have Kisner just kind of not doing anything. I mean, if he's not catching in Springfield, if he's part of this taxi squad, you know, he's not getting a whole lot more. And I don't know how much more development he needs, but they obviously feel like he needs some, or they wouldn't have signed Wieters, right? They would have let him be the backup to Yadi and let him sit for, you know, and he would play about as much as he would play this year on a taxi squad. But
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's different decisions to be made when you don't have a minor league season to help these guys out with. I don't know. That's just gotta be really hard for the coaching staff. Cause it's like, you know, how much good does he get, you know, in inter squad games in Springfield versus, you know, at least being in the major league atmosphere. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how the whole Springfield. I should have researched this a little bit more. Is there a possibility of them playing minor league games with other teams? I don't know. I almost think that they have to at some point, but I may be completely off base on that.
I have not heard of anything. And then you got to factor in. I mean, they could in theory, I guess. I don't know. I haven't heard anything like that. And it feels like with all the precautions they're doing against major league games, I don't know if they have the resources to do that, to bring in, you know, to have a minor league game, you know what I'm saying? Just to be able to sanitize and to be able to keep, you know, testing stuff. I don't you know, it limits the travel as well. But yeah, I mean, on the other side of that, it would make sense for where the Royals have theirs. Is it in?
Well, I'm not real sure. That's what I mean. I should have researched that a little bit more.
Let me see. Cause I mean, some of those that have theirs in this area where, you know, maybe they can bus or, you know, something like that, you know, again, I don't think they've ever said that they will, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen at some point in time as they kind of figure out this whole system. Because, it seems very hard for me to think that, you know, 2 months of drills and inter-squad games is going to be real great for this development. Because they've got, I mean, I got to tell you, if you could go sit outside the stadium at Springfield this year, that would be a lot of fun because there's a lot of fun names.
Yeah. There.
But I don't know that it does, you know, does it do you any good to have Jordan Walker, you know, just hitting, you know, hitting in a cage and things like that all year.
Yeah. I wondered about the level of competition and how they would do it. And I'm not sure. I mean, I kind of thought about that. I was thinking, is there going to be some kind of way that they can play a limited schedule, you know, but just for competition wise, I don't know. I would think that at some point they probably do. And it may be a situation where we don't even know that they do it. You know, it's, you know, it'd be that it kept under wraps. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't. All right. I can't find it on the website real easily where their other one is. So, I got to figure it's, let's see, their minor league, one of the, whatever minor league affiliates close probably. And in that, let's see, Omaha. Well, it's not in Springdale. I know that much. I think I would have heard that. So, yeah. It's either they're either playing, it might be in Omaha. I don't know. Interesting. It's an interesting question that I hadn't really thought about, but you know, it would do some good to at least have occasional game, even if it's like this exhibition that the Cardinals are playing with the Royals this coming week. If they did that, you know, once a week, or
that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, it would make sense if they could do it. If they think they could do it and keep the, you know, keep people contained and keep things going, it would make some sense. I don't know. It's an interesting point. So we are, like I said, a week away, and it feels like we're going to get there. I know there's been a lot of hesitation through this whole process, even once we started getting a date, about whether there would be baseball or not, but it feels like it's going to take something really significant not to have it start next week, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Now, were you a little bit, I mean, Tara and I talked about this last week. I think it happened after our show. But, you know, like Aroldis Chapman got it tested positive after the camp had started. We haven't seen as many of those this week, which is good. I was afraid of that. That's what, you know, but seeing anybody test positive inside the bubble, that really gets me a little bit concerned about how long this thing's going to run.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's one of those things to where it's, you know, it's going to happen. You know, it's, I hope it's not a widespread event, but mm-hmm. You know, it's worrisome because there, like I said, back to the deal that I've said for, you know, basically 3 months now, the uncertainty is the worst. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you just never know.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the crazy thing, you know. You can watch a game. We can watch the game on Friday and Saturday morning, wake up, and there's not any, you know. And I'm wondering, do you think there will be too many games this year, not just for Cardinals, but in the season in general, that aren't played because tests don't get come back or you know, one or two players have, you know, tested positive, and so – they just cancel that day's game and, you know, then they move on to the next day. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much of this is going to be, you know, you used to have rain outs, and now we may have virus outs. I don't know.
Well, my knee-jerk reaction, of course, would be like, nah, it can't be. That's not going to happen. But that's the likelihood of that happening is pretty high.
It would seem. I mean, I know baseball has added another lab and things like that. So hopefully the backlog of tests, although it was, there was somebody, what, this was it this week or last week, into last week maybe, that did still, Houston maybe. Oh, I know, it was Houston because their pitching coach had been possibly exposed. But I thought there was somebody that had not had a workout because they didn't get the test again. And I may be wrong on that. But, you know, with another lab, it makes it less likely, I guess, that you're going to have what we had at the beginning of last week where people were canceling constantly because they couldn't get test results. But it still feels like, I mean, you got to kind of hold your breath just about every day until 7:15 or whatever first pitch is to see if the game gets off.
Yeah, it's worsome. Just because at the rate of exposure and everything that you know, and not completely sure how it's being passed along other than, you know, through mm-hmm. your spit. It's troubling. I mean, it's yeah, that's all I can really say.
Yeah, I mean, that really kind of sums it up. Unfortunately, there's really nothing else we know about it. We'll just have to watch it. But, you know, at least we do seem to get some games. And, any last thoughts before, like I said, we got 1 week here. Somebody pointed out it's probably fitting for 2020 that Mike Matheny is at the first man. Team. I don't any last just thoughts about it before it kicks off.
No. I mean, it's kind of one of those hold your breath type situations. I'm looking forward to it. I kind of went into it. You know, I said it a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I know the cloud that's overhead. I'm just trying not to think about it too much and just trying to enjoy what we have and hopefully that they get started and get it finished. I have a feeling if they start, they're going to finish, and those things go completely haywire. Now, that needle is pointing, maybe haywire could happen, you know, in some of these states right now. And that is a little worrisome to me. But right now, I'm just trying to ride the wave a little bit, better get started, kind of see the oddity of it, have some live baseball, competitive baseball on TV. I mean, that was the beauty of this week, is you had something to look forward to in the evenings, which haven't really done that, you know, since, you know, early March. And with fingers crossed, I think that everything's going to go off and fairly smoothly, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I mean, the benefit of this compressed schedule is, except for that first week when there's a couple of days off, I mean, you're pretty much got baseball almost every day. You know, I mean, during the season, it feels like, okay, well, if it's a Monday or if it's a Thursday, you very well may not have a game. But yeah. This year, you know, like I said, 2 days off in August entirely, which could be, it's a good thing they're rested. I mean, because the heat of the, if the heat does anything like it is now, in the next week or two, they're going to really regret that. But still, to have some sun every night will be nice. And it'll be nice to have it back on the TV too, sure. Instead of streaming on the computer.
Yeah, that's the broadcast. I'm a little worried about that because, you know, where I am in Tulsa, we don't get Fox Sports Midwest. What we get is Fox Plus, and that usually means all the Cardinals games. Sometimes I'll get a back-to-back Cardinals Royals game, depending on if one plays a day game or whatnot, and I'm usually pretty lucky on that. I'm worried about that this year with so many similar start times, since everybody's going to be playing every night. I am worried about maybe my lack of games. I wanted to upgrade my package through Cox to see if I can get Fox Sports Midwest, which is something that I may look at if that's a problem. But as far as broadcast schedule, that's the one thing I'm like, I hope as many comes through as possible. And I'm almost trying to insulate myself knowing that something may go awry as far as the schedule.
Yeah, well, hopefully not. Hopefully that you see most of these. The Cardinals will be on Fox Sports Midwest on Wednesday when they do take on the Royals. That'll be the first real look at the team, and more importantly, the first real look at the team playing in an empty stadium. I mean, you and I were talking about this. It feels like without fans, the game should go faster. I don't think it will necessarily, except for, I don't think there's really any reason for it. Well, I mean, to go faster, but it just kind of feels like it should, just because there's not as much. Maybe there'll be less stepping off and trying to figure out the signs. Maybe there's, less, build up that way. But I think it's just, that's just one thing I'm going to be looking at. I mean, it's just going to be so weird, I think, for those empty stadiums.
Yeah, agreed. And that's, you want to know how, I wonder how much it's going to take away the enthusiasm of big plays and mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I noticed that, little by little, Dan has really tuned up. And Wong made a really nice play today on the shortstop side of the bag, and he really piped up. And toward the end of it, he was really piping up. And I think that he's trying to build that enthusiasm a little bit that's going to be obviously going to be lacking.
Yeah, well, I wonder if that's going to seem without the crowd noise behind it. I wonder if it feels a little bit fake. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's going over the top. I picked it up pretty quickly. That serves anything.
I mean, Dan is known to go a little bit extreme anyway. I just wonder without the crowd noise and that. And I just wonder about, you're right, I wonder about that excitement. And I wonder about some of these guys, like on the pitcher side, Flaherty or others that might, they use that crowd enthusiasm to step up. I mean, well, look, I know they announced that, Flaherty's the opening day starter. Adam Wainwright's the game two starter. And I saw Jason Hill from Viva Alberto's put out a tweet that said, look, with him going as the second starter instead of like the fifth starter, he gets an extra start or two at home, which is good. But I've always feel like Adam Wainwright is one of those guys that feeds off of that home emotion and crowd. And that's one of the reasons he does so well at Busch Stadium. Without that, how much will that, translate? Not saying that he won't be good or won't be better at home or whatever, but maybe that'll be the same everywhere this year because there will be no fans to up or down affect it. I don't know. I think that for me, I would think it would be very hard for me to feel the import of a, runners on, in the sixth inning, I've got to make my perfect pitch because I can just feel the pressure without that crowd noise one way or another.
I'm curious about that. I mean, we're going to see how competitive these guys are. I do feel like I have seen a side of the pitchers that surprised me. I thought there'd be a little more, not, I'm going to say lollygagging this, mm-hmm. but I thought more cordial with guys. And you haven't seen that at all, especially out of the starters more than anybody. You see it a little bit in the infield. So that tells me they're pretty competitive. But you're right, to take it up to that next level, for a much needed out will be fun to see how much the crowd makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, look, these guys are tough. I mean, mentally tough. They're going to be focused, and honestly, half the time they probably don't necessarily hear the crowd, at least not consciously. I think it's just going to be interesting, and it kind of goes the same with the hitters too. Although I think that the hitters, I don't know if they feed off of that. We always talk about somebody feeding off the crowd. It seems to be we're always talking about pitching, but hitters may have the same thing of, I don't know. But then again, an empty crowd may feel like you're just hitting the ball off the tee, and maybe that makes you more relaxed. I don't know. Don't know. We'll find out, but we'll find out soon. Because knock on wood, this time next week, we will be at the, probably about the, it's we're here getting to about 9:45 on the Central Time. So it's by the time we're ending this up. So we'd probably be getting to about the seventh inning, probably. Sixth or seventh, somewhere in there, maybe a little bit later than that. But should be fun. All right. Well, until next week, which we'll have some other games to talk about. That is Alan, and I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate, a swing and a miss, and that's a winner. a World Series winner for the Cardinals.